looking for consensus.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiotakis. President Obama leaves for London today ahead of a big economic summit later in the week. The Group of 20 meeting really includes heads of state from more than 20 countries trying to get a handle on the global economic fallout. Our man in London, Stephen Beard, joins us right now. Stephen, it seems like we keep hearing about what won't be coming out of Thursday's meeting.
Well, as you say, it's easier to say what is not going to come out of it. I mean, we're not going to get what President Obama was initially pushing for, a big increase in stimulus packages in other countries. There's just simply too much disagreement over that. The Germans, the French, the Chinese say, no, we're already in the process of pumping a lot more money into our economies. Let's wait and see what happens.
Obviously, Stephen, they're gathering there for a purpose. What? Why are they getting together?
They've come to have tea with the Queen, I think, is the answer. No, clearly there is a purpose, and some material things will emerge, it seems, from the summit. It looks as if there's going to be an agreement to increase funding for the International Monetary Fund. There'll no doubt also be a solemn commitment to free trade and a pledge to not to revert to protectionism, and also a broad statement of principles about how to better regulate financial markets. But on the regulatory front, nothing very dramatic, it seems.
So given the big business environment today, why doesn't there seem to be this big consensus on regulation?
Well, I think all the participating leaders agree that we've just lived through a major regulatory failure, but there are just too many disagreements about how to tackle this internationally. In fact, today we had a story that French President Nicolas Sarkozy is threatening to walk out of the summit unless he gets an agreement to set up a global financial regulator. Now, that's not going to happen because the US opposes it, so do the Brits. There is, however, agreement on one issue, and we're told that at this summit, a deal will be unveiled with 10 tax havens, including Switzerland, Liechtenstein, Monaco, and Andorra, to share a lot more information with the tax authorities of the rest of the G20 group. So it does seem there is one issue around which they all agree. After all, they all need to raise a lot more tax with all these stimulus packages. They would all love to see the tax havens go out of business.
Mm. Our European correspondent, Stephen Beard, joining us from London. Stephen, thank you.
Okay, Steve.
And investors have mixed feelings about the G20. European shares are holding their own today. In London, the FTSE's up more than 2.5% at this hour. Asian markets went in different directions. The Nikkei lost about 1.5%. Hang Seng was up. The Dow shed more than 250 points yesterday to close at 75.22. NASDAQ and S&P shares fell 3 and 3.5%. Today, we were supposed to learn the fate of General Motors' floundering Hummer brand. That is, until GM found itself with other pressing business on its plate, namely a 60-day presidential timetable to make a survival plan or face bankruptcy. The Hummer problem will have to be addressed soon because sales there have really tanked. And given its dire state, GM doesn't need any more baggage, Rico Galliano reports.
Oh, how the Hummer has fallen. Sales were down 68% in the first 2 months this year. Rick Kranz, an editor at Detroit's Automotive News, chalks it up to the powerful car's puny gas mileage.
When gasoline was at $4, $5, $5.5 a gallon, people looked elsewhere for products and Hummer suffered.
By the time gas prices came down late last year, GM had already announced it was looking to unload the company. Kranz says that didn't exactly breed sales. Still, GM says they have bids on the table from other companies to buy Hummer. Analyst Michael Robinette of CSM Worldwide says any buyer would have a lot of work to do.
Hummer is a rough-and-ready vehicle. It has a very muscular image. But really, for Hummer to survive longer term, they're going to have to either expand the portfolio and make it a little bit more environmentally friendly, or slim it down and make it a niche brand.
In which case, he imagines fewer Hummer models and few, if any, Hummer dealerships. Whether the brand lives or dies, though, it won't affect the military. GM owns the Hummer name and makes its own versions of the car, but a completely different company called AM General supplies Humvees to the armed forces. In Los Angeles, I'm Rico Galliano for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by LendingTree, where you can choose up to 4 customized loan offers. 1-800-555-TREE. When banks compete, you win.
It's the time of the year for parents and students to decide about college. But in this economic fallout, the decision is causing some anxiety. For parents who are looking for deals, and for four-year schools, which are seeing smaller community colleges competing for dollars. Here's Emily Hanford of American Radio Works.
Kathy Moore is a counselor at Blake High School in suburban Maryland. As the price of college shot up over the past decade, she received more and more glossy brochures in the mail. Schools touting new athletic facilities, dorms with private bathrooms, fancy campus centers.
This is all glitz. But let's face it, our generation is used to all this.
They might need to start getting used to something else. Sekou Ba's an example. He started out at a four-year school in Pennsylvania. He had financial aid, but still had to borrow about $12,000. Watching the economy melt down last fall, he got nervous about graduating with lots of debt. So he transferred to a community college.
I mean, college is worth it. My parents have always told me education is the most important thing. But when colleges get ridiculous, I don't think it's worth it because you can get the same education somewhere else for way cheaper.
Ba now takes a full load of classes at Montgomery College in Maryland, where tuition is less than $4,000 a year. And he likes it. The community college doesn't keep track of how many students transfer from four-year schools, but enrollment is up nearly 10%, and officials expect even more students in the fall. And this has expensive private colleges feeling nervous.
Why should I send my child to your school when there's a public institution down the road that costs a lot less?
This is a question Mary Ellen Duffy gets a lot these days. She's director of financial aid at Albright College, a small liberal arts school in Reading, Pennsylvania. Tuition, room, and board add up to about $40,000 a year. To keep students coming, Albright has always had to offer a lot of financial aid. And next year, they're offering even more, and freezing staff and faculty salaries to do it. I'm Emily Hanford for Marketplace.
Hey, check out Marketplace later today as Emily explores how some students are rethinking their college plans in light of the fallout. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiatakis. Have a great day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.